Praise the Lord. I know you're excited about the word that's going to come forth. I'm still wondering what that is, but we'll find out. I have a plan, but there might be a change. I'm not sure. The crowd's a little light tonight, so I know the word's going to be concentrated. So you're going to get a big dose tonight, right? It's not going to be spread out all over. Hallelujah. The praise and worship team did a real good job tonight, didn't they? I am going to, since they gave that gift to us, I'm going to give a gift back to them. One of the things I found out a long time ago is that it's the praise and worship team gets to lead praise and worship all the time, but it's not like sitting back and doing it. It's really, that's work. And praise and worship's not supposed to be work. So sometimes I'm going to have Bob play a song here just for a second. I want the praise and worship team to make sure, since we've already kind of entered in, I want to make sure that they enter in. Let's get in the spirit. Let's find out what God wants by praising and worshiping. Amen? Go ahead, Bob. Praise you, Lord. Y'all may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I'm not going to will adore you. I adore you now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you tonight to move in this place, to touch each and every heart tonight. We don't want to waste our time and come and leave the same as we came. We want to be touched and changed by you tonight. So be it in Jesus' name. I know that's your will, so receive your will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hallelujah. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. This is the day the Lord hath made. Amen. Your will is to rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see what happens. We'll get started here and see what happens. Last week we talked about purpose or porpoise, remember? Now I know porpoises don't swallow you, but that's a good title. Purpose or porpoise, you can remember that title. It was about Jonah and the large fish that swallowed him when he would not do the will and purpose of God. That's what I meant by purpose or porpoise. And I don't really believe that Jonah enjoyed that little cruise. 3 days in the belly of a fish doesn't sound too exciting to me. I want to make sure that I don't ever end up in that fish. And whatever fish I'm in now, I want to make sure I know how to get out of it, right? All right, let's do a little review. Oop, yeah, that's it. We learned that we are very important to God. We learned that since we came from Him, we're created in His likeness and image, that if He's important, we're important. Is that correct? That's what we found out. God has never been one day without a purpose, and we have never been one day without a purpose. Amen? So if I were to ask you right now what your purpose is, you would have an answer by now, right? Half of you said yes. If everybody has a purpose, then we need to define what the purpose is for each and every one individually. Not tonight. You're going to do that on your own. But I can tell you that your purpose is to praise God. Your purpose is to spread the gospel. If nothing else, you've got those two things deep down. You've got to know that. If you don't know what gospel is, then you don't have a purpose, right? At least fall back on praising Him all the time. That may sound funny, but I wonder sometimes. God values us. God created it all. Everything. That's another thing. God's created everything, including me, for a purpose. Not just me. Not just you. But everything is created for a purpose. We've always had a purpose. We had a purpose before we knew we had a purpose. I was listening to a song a little earlier about there was a group of singing to God, thanking him for the rough road. Because every pain, every hurt, every disappointment was a purpose. That was a purpose in your life. Even what we determine to be a pain or a porpoise is a purpose. When the big fish came along and swallowed Jonah, there was a purpose in that. If for no other reason, it was to deliver him to where he was supposed to be and refused to go. Right? So at the time, I imagine it smelled like a problem. But in reality, it was his special ride to get him to where he was supposed to be. He had to learn, he had to think about that later and thank God for that ride later once reality set in. One thing we found out was God's purpose is more important than our comfort. If we can look back and see, if I were Jonah and I looked back, I would not enjoy that particular ride, but I would understand at a later date that God's purpose for that fish and for my ride in that fish was more important than my comfort. He had the opportunity to take the boat. He took the fish instead. And in many, many cases, and I'm sure, once again, we covered this last week, Jonah thought when he went inside of that fish that it was over. And too many times we look at situations and think, this is over, this is it. It can't get any worse. This is the worst. I'm done for. Even when we think it's over, we got to understand it's just a tool for the purpose. If we can keep that in mind, we'll wait for God to say it's finished rather than us saying it's finished. We get in trouble. We get an upset stomach. We get a ride in an upset stomach. We get in trouble when His purpose is set aside for our will, which is what happened to Jonah. Is that correct? He heard God say, go that way, and he just said, if that's where God wants me to go, I'm going that way. Like we've all done in times past. We set aside God's purpose for our will. And our will is usually against God's purpose. That's how we learn. We discover that the way we get out of trouble, out of this belly ride, was we pray, we give thanks, worship, and we repent. Repent means I'm not going to do what got me here again. Now, last week, I felt like we covered the negative end of this thing. It's more like a threat. You'll do God's will, or you're going to end up in the belly of a fish. I think this week, we're going to look at the positive part of that, which means what happens if we do God's will. All right? We're going to forget Jonah, because he learned the hard way. We've learned some things. Let's stop doing it the hard way. Let's do it for a purpose. All right. We've got to understand the gospel has always been the purpose of God. What's the gospel? Good. It's good. So, God's purpose is for good. It's good for the earth. He created good. Understand, He created everything good. We're the ones that fouled it up, and His purpose through us is to set it straight again, to get it right. All right, His purpose is good for the earth. He created good. God's purpose is good for the man. He created good. God's purpose is good for those that have refused Him. Sinners. His purpose is restoration. We can look at Jonah and see that. I mean, Jonah really deserved to be digested by the fish. Because literally, he spit in God's face. He heard, he knew, and he said no to God. I mean, goodness. He deserved to just be fish poop. That's what he deserved. But God's purpose is restoration. So he delivered him up on that shore and gave him another chance to do what God wanted, which was good. What is good for us is pleasing God. Amen? And sometimes we get such a negative view. We think that God saved us to keep us out of hell. You know that? We actually get kind of a negative outlook on our salvation. That was not the purpose. The purpose was to restore us, bring us back into His likeness and image, and tell other people about how good God is. That's our purpose. Now listen, I'm going to read to you, since we don't have the projector. We had the projector, the light bulb went out again. We're going to stop that cycle. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, the last part of 8 is, by the power of God, verse 9, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done. Did you get that? If not, I'll give you time to turn there. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. I want you to look at positive and negative on this. It's not, we are, He called us for a purpose, not because of anything we've done. Not because we're good, not because we're bad. Because He has a purpose. And it's good. I'm going to read to you again. Who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. Okay, why were you called? Why do you have a purpose? For His purpose. And we've determined that His purpose is good. Right? It's good for you, it's good for others, it's good for the kingdom, it's good for the world. Now, I'm gonna, just in case I get too long-winded here, I'm going to go to the last part of my little talk here tonight and cover the good part. And then we'll come back and make sure that the New Testament agrees. Amen? If you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now, I want you to understand, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I want you to know the thoughts that I have for you. They're good. They're for a future. All right, let's look at Deuteronomy. I bet you God's idea, His words never change. He says the same thing all the time. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now, you like that word? For anybody in trouble, having troubles? Now, it shall come to pass. If. There's that word that we don't really like. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently, another word we don't like. We don't even like the word diligent. We like to be diligent at mealtime and diligent at TV time, but we don't really like it in the commandments. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high. Who's going to set you high? As soon as He's your God, He will. He'll set you high above all nations of the earth. Now, but Stan, this is to the people of God. Yeah? Yeah? What's your defense there? I mean, quit trying to turn down blessings. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you. Might come upon you. You think God means what He says? Okay. And they will overtake you. I love the word overtake because that means you're not going after them. It's nearly like you're running away from them. You're not. You're going in the purpose and will of God, and the blessings overtake you. In your normal daily walk, in your faithful, careful, diligent service and love for God, they will overtake you. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. That's why they'll overtake you. Not just because you were born again. That's a good place to be, but it's not the place to stay. You will be obeying. You are saved for a purpose. Get on with the purpose and watch God send blessings to overtake you. Verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Is there anything left? Huh? Verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds. This is the purpose and will. This is the will of God for those that are in the purpose of God. The increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed, that you know, basket and kneading bowl points to work just a little. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. What's left? Okay. Verse 7, the Lord will cause. Who's going to cause it? Let's don't get caught up in the promises. Let's make sure we understand that when we are in the purpose of God, this applies. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you. Okay, now that's kind of a promise that enemies are going to rise against you. That's part of that promise. The rest of the promise is the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated. Where? Before your face. Now, unless they're in the same grave with you, that means this lifetime. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. See, that excites me too. I would definitely like for some of my enemies to go seven different directions at one time. That would be fun. 8, another one. If you're in the purpose of God, you're in the will of God. Here's the will of God. The Lord will command the blessings on you. Do you think it might happen if the God commands it? The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. He's not through giving yet. You still have some land coming. Now that may not mean acres, it may mean some other kind of property, but you got land coming. If you're in the purpose of God. How do you know the purpose of God? Obey His voice. That means a promise you're going to hear. You're going to know. Verse 9. See, I like all this that you don't have to do this. All you have to do is obey the voice of the Lord. If it's go to Nineveh, well, go. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself. Well, I thought I had to be holy. I didn't see that in there. See, you can't be holy. There's no reason to try. You can be careful. You can be diligent, but you can't be holy. Because the Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself. Just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandment of the Lord your God, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God, there's that if again. What? Keep them and walk in His ways. That's His purpose. Walk in it. Well, I tell you what, I got to go home tomorrow and I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do this at work. And what did God say to do? Maybe you ought to remind yourself what God wants you to do right before you decide what you need to do and let the blessings overtake you. Verse 10, and all peoples of the earth shall see. They shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they shall be afraid of you. Sometimes when you're talking to me, I say goofy things. I had somebody tell me one time, I'm a little afraid of you. And I said, good, good. How, what are you basing it on? Well, there it is right there. Good. But I will explain something else, too. And this is part of the scripture. The only way to have a relationship is there has to be a little bit of fear involved. If there's not a little bit of fear involved, you have no relationship. If nothing else but the fear of the loss of the relationship. That causes respect. It causes you to be careful and diligent. Too many times we're not fearful. We're not careful with our relationship with God. We think that all we got to do is ask for forgiveness. Yeah, that's right. I think it's right. I'm not too sure. I'm not taking any chances. All I remember is Jonah and the big fish. He wasn't destroyed. He wasn't cast to hell. But he took a bad ride. I need to be a little careful about that relationship. Let's go on. Verse 11, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Now, see, Connie, if my barns are full of junk out there, it's goods. You want to throw away everything all the time. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Plenty of goods. In the fruit of your body, it's good. In the increase of your livestock, it's good. And in the produce of your ground, it's good. In the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Now, how do I fit in this? Well, He swore it to my fathers. Right? It's mine. Or you don't believe the Bible. Verse 12, the Lord will open to you His good treasure. Now, I've read a little bit about what He asked them to use when they built the temple here on earth. And it was good. And I've read a little bit about what the mansion that He's preparing for us. And it's good. So I get a little bit of suspicion about what He means about this scripture. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. If you want to be blessed, don't do a lot of borrowing. Not on your credit card, not anywhere. Make a determination that the Lord is going to overtake you with blessings so you won't have to borrow. Now, since you may have already borrowed, He may have to bless you for a while before you catch up. 13. And the Lord will make you. That's in case you're already a tail. I could use a different word. But in case you're already a tail, the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. Now, that's a command also. You found the purpose and the will of God here. Don't be beneath. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy to make you beneath, to make you the tail. Don't be that. This is how the Lord, if you heed the commandments, the Lord will make you the head. which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Now, you're not going to be able to observe all the will and the words and the commands and the wishes of God unless you go to His Word. And you're not going to be able to heed His voice if you don't shut up, be quiet, and seek His voice. So maybe all of these blessings are stacked up, ready to just run over you like a broken dam as soon as you get quiet and you seek His voice. Now, if you don't ever go to the Word, His voice is going to say, go to the Word. And when you get in the Word, then His voice is going to explain the Word. And then when some of the explanations come of the Word, then you're going to hear specific statements from God about what you're to do and what you're not to do. Amen? Now, this is the first third, one third of Deuteronomy 28. I am not going to read you the last two thirds. If you don't want to listen to the voice of God, if you don't want to obey His commandments, it's about what's going to happen to you. And it'd be profitable for you to read it. But it's a lot more profitable just to heed His voice and take the first third. Amen? Now I'm going to go back to the first. All right. Now, one of the things that we've read in the last, this Deuteronomy 28, where does our provision come from according to Deuteronomy 28? From the Lord, right? Not from how hard we work. Matthew 6, verse 30 through 33 says this, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" O you of little faith applies to the people that think they can work for provision. 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." He covered them in Deuteronomy 28, didn't He? He's reminding you again in Matthew. Verse 33, saying the same thing He said in Deuteronomy 28, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Don't seek your righteousness. Seek His. You don't have any. You can't find any. You can't work it up. You can't buy it or pay for it. "And all these things shall be added to you." Is this true? Then I got things. How about you? He wants to be our supply. He wants to be our provision. Our purpose is to reveal Him. Gospel, praise, worship. In Exodus 9:16, it says, "But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power," God says. You don't show yours. You show God's power. "My power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." What's your purpose? That His name be declared in all the earth. You know, if you don't know any other purpose, you know that to be your purpose. Well, why did He choose me? Could that be your question? Why did He choose me to do this? Well, the answer is it's time. Whose time? God's time. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." Well, why didn't He use my father? It wasn't time. A purpose out of time is anti-purpose. And God knows that. God knows when everything is positioned correctly to accomplish what He wants accomplished. God knows how to arrange everything for success. Now listen to me. So what He's doing is He tells you, you will have great success if you will do this. When He told Jonah to go to Nineveh, what He was telling him is, I'm going to show myself strong through you. That feels good, doesn't it? And there's going to be great success there. And then all of these blessings are going to overtake you. Now, did you hear what I said? That's when God asks you to do something. That's the rest of the story. He's already arranged. God wouldn't fail. He can't fail. He doesn't know how. So what He's done is He's arranged. He sent you for their success. Your success, your purpose is to fulfill His purpose, which is success. Good. Amen? I don't know why we argue with God about things we should do. It's just a formula for success to accept the assignment. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." So the only way that all things are going to work together good for you is that it's according to His purpose. It doesn't say all things are going to work together good for you. That isn't what it says. It says to those that are called according to His purpose. So you have to acknowledge that you're called. You have to acknowledge there's a purpose. And when He gives you an assignment, you have to go for it. Amen? All right. What must I do to be in His purpose or to be blessed? Deuteronomy 6:17-19 says this, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, His testimonies, His statutes, which He has commanded you." 18, "And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord." So your purpose is to do what's right and good in whose sight? Okay. That eliminates us having to perform for somebody else's approval. Understand? Nobody's going to wave the commandments over me and judge me. Because God is the one. I have to be approved in His sight and His alone. "And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers." Verse 19. This is what you're going to do. You're going to cast out all your enemies. You are going to cast out your enemies. How are you going to do that? Well, you proclaim God's purpose. Or we can say in the New Testament, in His name. We're going to cast out the enemy from before you as the Lord has spoken. So, to be in His purpose or to be blessed, A, we have to determine purpose in our hearts to obey His commandments. We have to be purposed in our hearts to be welcome in His sight. Not trying to hide because the last time we were there, He told us to do something and we wouldn't do it. Okay. And B, you have to be against His enemy. Too many times we spend our time being against our enemy, when in reality it's God's enemy. You see, we always talk about the devil coming at us to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, that's true because we're in the way. He really wants to kill, steal, and destroy God. You understand what I'm saying? We're the ones carrying the good news. We're the ones going to tell people about the kingdom purpose. We're the one that's going to really put a thorn in the devil's flesh. So we're going to stand against everything the enemy comes at us with. And the only way we're going to be able to do that, I got to tell you, the only way you can stand against the enemy is that you have a purpose. You must know that God has given you a purpose, or this enemy will bowl you over every time. Because you don't know who you are, you don't know that you got a direction, you don't know that God designed the direction, and He's directed you to victory. And all you got to do is get there. And the way you're going to get there is to run over the enemy. You know he can be run over. You better know that, because the Bible says you to put your foot on his neck. You can't do that going around him. Our job is to know that we can do that, and we do it. We do it. Okay. How can we be blessed? How can we fulfill the purpose of God? Deuteronomy 11:22. "For if you carefully keep all of these commandments, which I command you to do," and it gives an example, "to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways, and to hold fast to Him." There's the three things He said. There's His commands. What are they? To love the Lord your God. That's easy. To walk in all of His ways. That's quite a bit harder. And to hold fast to Him. That's the one we have trouble with. We like to hold fast to things. Money. Security of all types. Our will, our way. Our remote. Our keys. You understand? Our. When our command is to hold fast to Him. So C would be careful to listen and obey God, not self. All right, Deuteronomy 11:23-25, it says this, Then the Lord, when we're diligently seeking, honoring, obeying, loving Him with all of our hearts, seeking His ways, then the Lord will drive out. Who's going to drive out? The Lord will drive out. All we've got to do is love Him. Love His ways. And the Lord will drive out all of these nations from before you, and you will dispossess, you like that word? Dispossess the greater and mightier nations than yourselves. You will dispossess. Do you know what that means? Somebody's beat you to it, and they're possessing it. It also says the Lord will drive out those nations. But He's going to do it before you. In other words, you're going to show up to dispossess. For you to possess, you have to dispossess. Listen to me. You can't have anything without taking it. You can't even have a purpose unless you take it. It'll just dangle out there like a carrot. You've got to get after it. You can't have all the wealth we've talked about, all the privilege, all the power, unless you take it. How do you take it? Well, I'm going to take the commandments. I'm going to take His voice. I'm going to take His will. I'm going to take it. What do you mean take it? You think the enemy's just going to get out of the way and let you do this? You think he's just going to move to one side and say, go ahead and try it? No. Every day you're going to run into resistance, and every day you have to run over the resistance. Listen to this. Every place on which the sole of your foot. By the way, let's go back to 23. You will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. So God is not calling you to a purpose that's your size. His purpose is far beyond anything we've ever thought about. So the assignment or the purpose that you have is far beyond anything you've ever thought about. So is the victory. Verse 24, every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Now what was the catch there? You've got to tread on it. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. Let's say it another way. Every place you can put your foot. 25. No man shall be able to stand against you. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as He has said to you. Now, any of you feel scary? I'm scary. It says there. Man, they hate to see me coming. It says that there. I've put my feet on a lot of ground. You realize that? How about you? How about you? Have you just kept your feet inside of your house all the time? So D, the Lord will cause you to do things that are greater than you. And E, you'll be the great one. You are the great one. They are not the great ones. You are the great one. Because the great one has His purpose in you. You are the great one. I don't care who it is out there. I don't care what size they are. I don't care how loud their voice is. I don't care what their title is. You are the great one. If you're in the purpose of God. Now Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28 says this. Behold, here's the catch. I set before you today a blessing and a curse. 27. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you today. If you obey what I tell you today. 28, and the curse, if you do not obey what I tell you to do today. This is merely simple. It looks like if I just obey the Lord, I'm going to be blessed. And I'm not reading the rest of it. The rest of it doesn't have anything to do with me. See, anytime you see an if in the Scripture, you need to decide which side of the fence you're on. You're on the iffy side or the sure side. If there's an if in your life, get rid of the if. Let me say it another way. If there's a question where you qualify for the blessings, get rid of the question. Get rid of the thing that's causing the question. It's really good for you to say amen when it's even a challenge to you. Because amen means so be it. That means I have decided that's the truth. So F is our future is based on our free choice. Isn't that what he just said? Whether you're blessed or cursed is up to you. It's not up to him. We know his purpose, his desire, his will. Now, are we ready for now it shall come to pass? Are we still wondering if we can do the purpose and the will of God? Can you? Are you still in the if category? You still in the if category? Honesty is a good place to be before God. You have to make the decision. That's what we just read. You have to make the decision. When you make the decision, you have to walk in the decision. That's repentance. That's what repentance really is. I'm in the if category. I don't want to be in the if category. I'm going to be in the sure category from now on. Everything I see in the Bible, everything I hear from the voice of God, I'm going to do it. Now you're in the sure category. Now walk it. So the next thing he tells you to do, be quick to do it. Be quick. Don't take a ride in a fish. Be quick. Is this complicated or simple? Then how do we make it so complicated? How do we make it iffy? How do we make it iffy? Because we don't enforce. We don't keep pushing. We don't keep moving. You know, Sunday night in our new beginners class, probably shouldn't say this in front of the pastor because I get outside the lines just a little bit, outside the lesson. But it dawned on me, not for the first time, maybe it re-dawned, how about that, that I'm Mrs. Jesus. Am I the bride of Christ? Then I'm Mrs. Jesus. Bob laughed. He's still chewing on that one. But it's very easy for my wife to understand that she goes in my name. I mean, she takes the checkbook like she owns it. Because her name is on there. She took the name, so there it is. Right? The credit cards, the car, all that stuff. She just acts like it's hers. Well, I'm Mrs. Jesus. And if I can understand that, I can understand how I can come in his name. All right. Now, my husband's name is Dr. Jesus. He is the great supreme physician. I read in the book that he owns everything. Everything. And has all power. I read that. And I read in there that he's, in fact, I read it to you, that he's more than willing and excited about giving it to us. The supreme physician, the maker of my body, healed me. Provided the tools that I walk in health. So I'm Mrs. Dr. Jesus. And I wondered how in the world could I be married to the one that made me and the one that called himself the best doctor in the whole world and dare to go ask another doctor about his opinion. Dare to go to a bank and ask him if I can have money. My husband's a banker. He owns all the money and he owns all the land. He told me to give me some. My husband did that. Why do I doubt? Do you doubt the checkbook? Do you doubt the car? Do you doubt the land we live on? The house we live in? And why do we doubt? You doubt there's an inheritance? Why would I doubt? Well, because the enemy comes in the back door and he whispers and I don't run over him. The enemy comes and tells you that you're not Mrs. Jesus. Well, I haven't been Mrs. Jesus very long. I remember the honeymoon. It didn't take too long for me to decide, for her to decide that she was Mrs. Setliff. She did my will. Didn't take her long. See, I'm nearly excited about that. All we have to do is be in love with him. All we have to do, and this is the hard part that I have with my wife, is to get her to listen. Now listen. She listens, but she doesn't hear. Or she hears, but she doesn't listen. Whatever it works. She doesn't get all the information because she's so busy trying to take care of whatever it is she's taking care of that she doesn't hear the master's voice. Am I the master? Say it loud so they can hear. Okay. I'm Mrs. Jesus. Say it again. They're laughing. You going to kiss my foot?
You are the master.
Now, why is it that we think that's funny when that's exactly the way we're supposed to treat our Lord, our husband? In the spirit, there is no male or female. So it's not very easy. For men, it's very difficult to understand that I'm Mrs. Somebody. I'm Mrs. Jesus. My understanding is this: I can never be a good husband to her unless I first become a good wife. Has to be. How much do I want to question? If I tell my wife, I only want good for you, does she remember where I might have made a mistake and say, I don't believe that? Or where she thought I made a mistake since I never made a mistake? You hear what I'm saying? My husband has never made a mistake. Why do I ever doubt him? Why at this moment are there questions? Why do I have a question? I just read in Deuteronomy 28 what he wishes for me. And what he wishes for me is to listen to him. What happens when I listen to him? Blessings. The checkbook. The land. The provision that's overtaking me. That's what happens if I love him and I trust him. And get it through our thick skulls. I'm Mrs. Jesus. Therefore, I can trust him. Okay? Then we can go to Deuteronomy 28. That's what you need to remember. If you want to read that often, it's good for you. Because it'll actually cause us to listen better. When I'll say something to her, and she don't get it. She heard something else. I don't know what. And I try to stay fairly simple. It happened right here in the back of the church where I asked her a very specific question, and she went off. And I said, what did I say? Now, we do the same thing with God. We do the same thing. He writes something so simple, it's a child could get it, and we go, well, he didn't really mean that. Or we just don't pay any attention. We leave right here today, and we go out and do what we did yesterday. And we don't practice listening carefully. It says carefully. Did it not say that? Carefully. You know, if you really want to, you can run into this a lot if you're in a counseling session. If you didn't get it clear, you say, I didn't hear that. Can I say it to me again? I want to make sure I got that correct. God doesn't mind you doing that. Wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. I read the scripture. Wait a minute. Can you explain this a little bit? I missed it. And he won't call you dummy. He won't look at you and say, are you hard of hearing? Which he should. But he doesn't. He just graciously explains maybe 4 or 5 or 40 or 50 times until we get it. He says it to us in different ways. He has a cook come up here and call you Mrs. Jesus just for a little better understanding. Amen? We're going to go that way. We're going to seek him first in everything since he is the supreme everything. There is no information without him. There is no purpose without him. There is no direction without him. There's no money without him. There's no health without him. I don't need to be looking or seeking or watching or hearing any other direction. Just him. Amen? All right, stand with me. You heard him, God. Now start talking so we'll test him. Talk so you'll test me. How does it feel to be Mrs. Jesus? Huh? Divine. Divine, okay. That's what God has to put up with. Praise the Lord. Y'all gonna? Can we change our focus? Can we stop listening to news and stop reading newspapers and stop listening to the neighbor and stop listening to doctors' reports, lawyers' reports, Indian chiefs' reports, whatever. Stop listening. There's only one source of information. Just one. And let me tell you something. If you're hearing something that's not God, stop it. Stop it. Just say, I don't receive that. That's not for me. No. I checked the package. Return to sender. Good word? That's God. Tell him yes. You know, we should be so faithful to answer God as we are our cell phones. We have the text. We have the text. Let's wait for the call. Let's be quick to answer. And let's just say yes. Whatever it is. Yes.
They sent a text message one day, and I wish I would have saved it. It said that if we treated God the way we treat our cell phones, you know, it talks about how we don't forget it, you know, we don't leave it anywhere, or, you know, we don't take it out of sight. It's always with us.
If it's out of order, we replace it quickly because, you know, we can't live without it. Amen. We're the only ones to get out of order. We need to be quick to replace us. Or out of order with order. Go ahead. Since we can what? What'd she say? Okay. Hey, I wasn't waiting to find out if you could talk. I knew you could talk. Okay, all hearts clear? Can you make a commitment tonight that you're going to listen carefully for God's voice? Recommit. I know you've done it before. Just recommit that you're going to get quiet. You know, right before church, my wife had been gone. She came in, she started raising the roof when she hit the door. I mean, she was after the kids. She was after everything. And my response is, get a 2x4. I'm not real gracious in that. So I try to spend Wednesdays quiet. I do. I want to hear. I make a lot of effort to do that. The enemy comes in many forms. Yeah, like a flood. So I'm not going to tell you everything, but I got that my iPod and I stuck the earphones in. I have earbuds. That means when I put them in, I can't hear anything else. And she'd talk and I couldn't hear. And I left it that way. And I did that nearly till church started. Because I had to see, your anger can make other people angry. Your intensity can intensify things. You can mess things up or you can set them in order. And rather than scream, which I'm capable of doing, I put the earbuds in. And I start listening to something other than an antagonist. That means I got my spirit quiet. Do you hear what I'm saying? Get your spirit quiet. It's the only way you're going to hear from God. And when you hear, say thank you. Say, sir, yes, sir. Don't say, well, let me ask you a question. If he knows best, and he only does good, why are you asking a question? Why don't you just say, sir, yes, sir. I may have a few questions, but here's my answer. Yes. Amen? And watch those blessings come. You expecting blessings? All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your people and their sincerity. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it never fails and it will accomplish what you set it forth to do. I thank you that their thought processes will never be the same. Ever. They're going to go forth from here and they're going to whip up on the devil and they're going to do your will and they're going to receive the blessings, and this is going to be one of the most blessed churches in the whole South Texas because they say yes, 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 yes. Never let us forget this time. Seal this word in our heart and our minds. Let it change our walk. Let when we walk, let us know that we're walking with a purpose so that land is ours. That when we shake hands on Sunday morning with all the people, we're no longer just shaking hands. Where everything we lay our hands to prospers. We thank you, Lord. We're not going to let these promises go. We're not going to let the enemy steal them. We're going to walk in them for your honor, for your glory, for your kingdom. Let it be established in this place. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Praise the Lord. You're all dismissed. Thank you for your time.